I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. We're still thinking about last night's debate. Probably so are Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. The candidates know as well as anybody that televised debates can have a big effect on the outcome of an election. We've seen this since the first one in history between JFK and Nixon, exactly 56 years before Trump and Clinton faced off last night. Televised debates are a much newer thing in Britain. The first one between party leaders there only happened in 2010. My colleague at the BBC, Paul Moss, has covered both U.S. and U.K. general elections. I mentioned Kennedy versus Nixon, Paul, but that happened in 1960. I'd have thought the U.K. would have seen that and tried to organize their own political debate on the BBC right away. That didn't happen?
It didn't happen, but it very nearly did. Obviously, with the Nixon versus Kennedy debate in mind, in 1964 we had an election, and the Labour challenger, Harold Wilson, the leader of the Labour Party, he said to Alex Douglas-Home, the Conservative Prime Minister, that he wanted a debate. But Alex Douglas-Home said it would be like a pop music concert. I guess he was looking at the way in which Nixon had been judged, perhaps, in which a lot of people talked about Nixon's appearance rather than what he had to say.
Right, kind of sweaty and pale-faced.
Exactly. But there was also a certain, I suppose, disdain in that phrase. It would be like a pop music concert, you know, disdain for turning politics into that. But here's what's very funny is that a few years later, Harold Wilson had become the prime minister. The Conservative challenger was Edward Heath. And he said he wanted then to have a debate. And Harold Wilson said no. Apparently, what he said is that if he'd had a debate, he would give Edward Heath the chance to look like a prime minister. And that's what he didn't want. So there you have an early pattern where the incumbent doesn't want it because, after all, why give any more room for the other guy to look any good?
Right. So why did it take another nearly 50 years to have the first debate in the UK?
It just goes on. Yeah. In 1979, we have the first time where it was the incumbent, a Labour Prime Minister, James Callaghan, who said he wanted a debate. And a woman called Margaret Thatcher was the challenger then. And she said no, that having debates was not the British thing. Hmm. And it wasn't, as you say, until 2010 that we got together and had that leaders' debate.
Yeah, refresh my memory, 2010, who won that election?
Well, that was when David Cameron won, and
right.
Gordon Brown wasn't seen as being so nimble on his feet. And again in 2015, the same happened. I should say that's the only one I know where we had actual research done, where they asked people, did the TV debates make a difference? And in that case, 38% of them said, yes, this made a difference. That is a huge number.
I mean, there is a perception here that the TV debates have helped to focus the contest on body language and personality and that they've kind of become a disservice to understanding the issues. I guess that entertainment factor that dissuaded those British politicians in the 60s. Has Britain so far been able to avoid that?
Well, that is a big debate within British politics. A lot of people have suggested that British politics has become more personality-based, more showbiz-like. You had certain moments, for example, in the last general election debate where there were some really heavy put-downs that everyone remembered, single one-liners. We had Nigel Farage from the group UKIP, which tends to stand on an anti-immigrant platform. And Nigel Farage complained that too many immigrants were coming to Britain with HIV. Another candidate turned around and said, Nigel Farage, you should be ashamed of yourself. He then blustered, and at one point blamed the audience for being biased. This sort of thing does focus attention on the personalities, probably inevitably focus a little more on that than on the policies.
British politicians are so good at Westminster at going into debates with each other. It doesn't really translate, though, to just one-on-one on stage, I guess.
It doesn't. But then I should say that, you know, there is a fine tradition of this in Britain that predates politics. I mean, when I was at high school, we had to do debating. I was at one point even, can I dare say it, on the debating team. Now, to be honest, that was because no one was ever going to pick me for the soccer team or the rugby team or the cricket team because I was rubbish at sport. But I did get to be on the debating team. And, you know, they do take this very seriously. You're taught the skills of rhetoric. You kind of look ridiculous because you're 12 years old wearing a shirt and tie and jacket and, you know, standing there and pontificating like you're at the dispatch box in Parliament and using all sorts of turns of phrases like, well, allow me to address the honourable lady over there. But seriously, this is a skill that we learned at school. And also it's particularly a skill that they teach at the very privileged schools like Eton, where David Cameron went, and Boris Johnson. They've been doing this for decades. They've literally been doing it since they were at high school. And that means that what you see, not for all of them, but some of them when they go into Parliament and, you know, this is something that they're an old hand at. It's perhaps why they went into politics in the first place. They kind of like that whole cut and thrust of the debate.
My BBC colleague, Paul Moss, thanks for filling us in.
Thank you, Mark. A pleasure.